Hallelujah. Okay, I welcome us again to today's service. And he, the Lord, has spoken great things concerning us. He, the Lord, he promised to bless us. Ours is to believe and position ourselves for that great blessings. Hallelujah. Okay, without wasting time, we've started what we called the Pauline episode about 3 weeks ago, and the Lord helped us last week. We covered the first missionary journey of Paul, and we want to progress to other activities that we have in the scriptures. I got a call from Abuja during the week, a sister thanking the Brother Assembly Church, because according to her, in her years of being a Christian, she never understood the writings of the New Testament, especially the Pauline epistles. She just opens and she reads, also thinking that the revelations of the writings of the New Testament, she even thought Paul was sitting down and the inspiration was coming. He began to write, not knowing it was actually a physical activities that brought about the writings of the scriptures. And another one made a statement that before now, her pastor and the deacon, they said they don't believe everything that was written by Paul, because there are certain places where Paul says, I am the one speaking, and other places say, not I, it's God. So they said, as Paul spoke himself, Paul must have made some mistakes. So she was thanking the Brother Assembly Church, because this teaching has helped her understand that the writings of Paul was inspiration from God. And what God guides, there is no single mistakes there. And again, it will interest us to know that Paul, before he began to write his epistles, Paul is not a novice. Like one of the pastors in Abuja also said, he doesn't believe all that Paul wrote. And he's not been in the ministry up to the time Paul was in the ministry before Paul wrote the episode. It will interest you to know this morning, as we will go by, that the first episode that was written by Paul was written 17 years after Paul became a Christian. Is such a person a novice? When you bring 17 years experience to any company, in fact, they will place you at the top rank of hierarchy. The first book that was written by Paul was written 17 years after he became a Christian. So such a one that is, when he speaks, is just like it's God that is speaking, because he's full of experience. Praise Master Jesus. So we see all those today as a way of recapping that which we did last week. We looked at Paul from the first place we started. They came now to the Antioch church. So from the Antioch church, they were launched out. And we said the first missionary journey, Paul, Barnabas, and John Mark, they were the one who sailed out on that first missionary journey. And we looked at the cities where they covered. They sailed from Seleucia. They came to Cyprus. From Cyprus, they now came to the region of Galatians. And we saw the things that happened in Galatians, the envyness of the Jews. When the Lord began to use Paul, Paul became popular, and the Jews in those cities saw that no one was actually listening to them again. Every traffic was being driven to the side of Paul. Now they mobbed up, some traveling from different cities down to the place where Paul was. They engineered the people. They began to fight Paul, to the extent, like we saw in Lystra, Paul was stoned to death. And we said in that Lystra was where he got some of the revelations, like he depicted In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 2, we saw it there, and we now saw when he finished his first missionary journey. Normally, as a human being, as you and I, we wouldn't want to go back to the place where they killed us before, or the place where they afflicted pains on us. But because Paul was convinced of the commission the Lord has given to him, Paul went back to those places. And we pointed out one of the very reasons why he risked his life at the expense of his life. He went back to those places. They wanted to kill him. We said the reason why was he went back now to tell them, before he was preaching the goodness of Christ. He was preaching, when you come to Christ, your problem is solved. You don't have any issue. And in their very eyes, Paul was beaten, and they almost killed him, and he died in Lystra. So Paul went back now to add to what he taught them before, that through persecution and suffering and tribulation, we will enter into the kingdom. And we see that as progressiveness of what he taught them before. That was what made him to go back to those cities. And after going back there, he now ordained pastors to those churches he planted. He ordained pastors there, and they placed those churches in order. Praise Master Jesus. So when he finished those things now, he now came back to Antioch. And we said that missionary journeys of Paul begins from Antioch. After he has toured around the cities he went to, when he comes back to Antioch, that completes the first missionary journey. And again, we also established that there are two Antiochs. We saw the Antioch of Pisidia, and we also saw the Antioch of Syria. So we are well established on that very area. Praise Master Jesus. So today, before Paul went for his second missionary journey, we want to look at what happened. There are incidents, there are events that happened before Paul went for his second missionary journey. And these events that happens is also good for us Christians to know. Because as a Christian, you wouldn't say you are a Christian, you don't know some of these rudiments of the foundation of the scripture. So today, God helping us, we look at events that happened between his first missionary journey and his second missionary journey. Praise the Lord. So we will begin by starting with this. Let me have the slides. Amen. So Pauline episode, this is part three. Today we are going to look at our first missionary testimony by Paul. You see, some of us, when God does things for us, when God delivers us, when God blesses us financially, you find it difficult to come and testify of the things the Lord has done for you. That is not Paul. Paul acknowledges that all he've gotten, his deliverance, is actually from God. So when Paul came back from that first missionary journey, the news went around the city of Antioch that Paul, Barnabas, they are back. Immediately the church gathered, and Paul began to give his testimony. So this is also a church pattern, a church move, or a church line, that if the Lord, when the Lord, not if, when the Lord does anything for you and I, we have to testify. We have to tell the brethren how the Lord delivered us. We will look at it. Take on the preaching of another gospel by Judea Christians / Jerusalem Council. We look at Paul's second journey to Jerusalem. He went to Jerusalem first. He came back. Now again, we will look at the second journey to Jerusalem. We look at Paul's first episode as a Christian. If I should ask somebody here today, what is the first episode Paul wrote in the scriptures? Can anybody help me? The first episode that was written by Paul, we've established that Paul wrote 14 books of the scripture. Who can help us as a Christian of 10 years, of 20 years? What is the first book that was written by Paul? Give our mommy.
Galatians.
Please put your hands together for our mommy. Thank you very much, mommy. God bless you. So there are people who thought that Paul wrote 1 Thessalonians as his first book, but here we will establish ourselves to see the reason why we agree that Galatians is the first episode that Paul wrote. And that Galatians was written 17 years after his conversion. So when we are talking about the writings of the Bible, we are not talking of charge and bail lawyers. We are not talking of roadside mechanics. We are talking about a man that was tutored, furnished, and equipped by the Holy Ghost before he began to write. And when a senior advocate of a country speaks, every other lawyer bows because they know that this man merited the position that he is today. So we should give all credence and all attention to the writings of Paul, because Paul is well equipped and experienced in everything he have written that we have today. Praise Master Jesus. Now we will look at the New Testament prophets. We look at the ministry of Prophet Silas. We look at Barnabas and Silas. We look at the separation of Paul and Barnabas. And after these are the things we will cover before we now move into the second missionary journey. Okay, the second missionary journey of Paul with Prophet Silas. Hallelujah. Let me have the next slide. Amen. Okay, in this Paul's testimony, let's see the book of Acts. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 14. Like I said, these are the remarkable incidents that happened on his first journey. The church gathered to hear Paul's testimony. Like I said, just in a church like this, when Paul came back, information went around everywhere. Apostle Paul is back. Do you mean it? He's coming to tell us his experience. The church gathered on a day. Paul began to give his testimony. How bad Jesus became blind, how Simeon Paulus became a Christian, how John Mark abandoned them. They thought he's a fellow servant, they thought he's a fellow worker with them. Just slight something that happened, he abandoned them and he took off. He said he talked about the lame from birth walked through their ministry, how the Jews stoned him to death in Lystra. He talked about the Galatian churches, how he planted the Galatian churches. Let's see that in the book of Galatians chapter 14. Allow me to read 27 and 28. Acts 14, 27 and 28. He said, and when they were come, that is Paul and his team, and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God has done with them, and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. The Bible says, and there they abode long time with the disciples. The 27, let's have it again. The 27, verse 27, he said, and they rehearsed all, just like those points we listed in the other slide. They rehearsed from the beginning to the end how God gave them victory. That is Paul's testimony. So you that is still keeping the testimony of God, the things God have done for you, you feel big, you can't come and testify, you can't write. That is not Paul. Paul rehearsed. He testified of all the deliverance of God concerning the journey they went. So, if you've not been in the habit of testifying of the goodness of God, cultivate it then. Remember, we overcome by the words of our testimony and the blood of the Lamb. And when you testify, that which the Lord have done will become permanent. Let's go to the next two slides. Hallelujah. Now, after Paul have finished testifying, shortly after that testimony, they receive information from the Galatian church that they've planted. They receive information that some people have gone to establish or to preach or to idolatrate that which they have planted. They receive information that there are people that came to trouble the churches that were in Galatians. They began to preach different gospel to these people, and the preaching of another gospel by the Judea Christians, like we see today in our Christendom. We see the Jehovah Witnesses, we see the Seventh-day Adventists, we see so many other people that preaches a different thing from what we have from the apostles. For example, the Seventh-day Adventists, they want us to observe the Sabbath day. They said the Sabbath day must be integrated or inculcated into the Christian activity. And Paul, with what he wrote to the Galatian church that is still applicable to us today, he said we don't need those things. They are shadow and they have gone. And we still see them preaching it today. He said what the Judea Christians were preaching to the Galatian Christians, that they must be circumcised. They must observe days, they must observe months, and they must observe years, just as in the laws of Moses. And they must keep other law of Moses before they will become a Christian, before they will go in the rapture. So when Paul got this information, you can write the scriptures down. When Paul got this information, his heart actually was broken. This is the church he has planted, an idolatrated church. The people were bouncing in the Holy Spirit. That is why you will hear Paul say, the spirit you received before. What spirit did you receive? You received it in joy. Now they came and corrupted that which I planted in you. So that led to the Jerusalem Council. Praise Master Jesus. So before then, Paul delivered, that led to the Jerusalem Council, whereby Paul began to contact those believers in Judea, in every other places. We don't need to fight, because the Bible made a statement. It said there was disagreement. Let's see that in that book of Acts chapter 15. It wasn't an easy thing for Paul. In that book of Acts chapter 15, let's take from verse 1. He said, a certain man which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. You see? So they went about preaching another gospel. So when you hear Paul in that book of Galatians says that you've received another gospel, this is actually what was happening. They began now to put in things that are not supposed to be as Christians. So, verse 2, he said, when therefore Paul and Barnabas had no dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain others of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and unto the elders about this question. Praise Master Jesus. Are we following? Now, the ministers in those churches, they brought out their delegates. The church in Antioch, where Paul and Barnabas were ministers, they appointed Paul and Barnabas. They said, you are to represent the church from Antioch. The church from Judea brought their representatives, and certainly the churches in Galatians, they all brought their representatives. They are now going to Jerusalem in order to settle this matter so that the church will be of one faith. Praise Master Jesus. So they all moved to Jerusalem. Take note now, while they were going to Jerusalem, by this time, Titus has been converted. Praise Master Jesus. So Titus, Paul, and Barnabas, they went to Jerusalem. Take notes at Titus because we will talk about him. Titus went with Paul to Jerusalem. Paul took Titus as his evidence that God also has given the Gentiles Holy Spirit, because Titus is a Gentile. So Paul took him to Jerusalem. Let's see that in the book of Galatians, chapter 2, verse 3. The book of Galatians, verse 3. He said, but neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. So Paul, Barnabas, and Titus, by this time, Titus is already converted. They went to Jerusalem. So when they got to Jerusalem, everyone began to present his own school of thought, his own understanding of the scriptures. Let's see that again in the book of Acts chapter 15. Please write it down. When they got there, they met the apostles, and the apostles gave them audience. Let's start off from verse 5. Acts 15, verse 5. He said, but there rose up certain of the cells of the Pharisees, which believed, saying that now they are already in Jerusalem, they are already seated, so everyone is bringing up his understanding. Now, this is another group, which actually is the Judean group. He said, but there arose certain of the cells of the Pharisees, which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them, to circumcise the Gentiles, and to command them to keep the law of Moses. Now, they've given their own version of their testimony. Let's see verse 6. And the apostles and the elders came together for to consider for this matter. Praise Master Jesus. Now, after the other group has given their own understanding of the scriptures, Peter and the rest came together and they said, no, this is our conclusion. We shouldn't put this Moses burden on the people. What that law is all about is a lead or a guide to the real substance that was actually coming, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. And after that, James also stood up. James is the half-brother of Jesus, not James the son of Zebedee. By this time, we have two James in the scriptures. By this time, James the son of Zebedee has already been killed by Herod. Praise Master Jesus. So the James there is the James, the half-brother of Jesus, who also was a part of the leadership of the church of Jerusalem, stood up and he said, yes, Peter, what you've said is the truth. We just don't need to say this verbally. Let us also put it in writing so that they will spread our agreed doctrine all over the churches where they were. Praise Master Jesus. So that was how they agreed. They agreed. And that issue was laid to rest concerning the progressiveness of revelation. They moved forward. Let me see the next slide. Now, as the routine of Paul was when he was going on that mission, he didn't just go from Antioch straight to Jerusalem. Paul was still entering those churches. Remember, during the time Paul was persecuting the church, the Jewish believers, they scattered to so many places and they were opening churches. They were coming together and churches were planted. And these people were only preaching to the Jews. They weren't preaching to the Gentiles. So while Paul was going to Jerusalem, he will hear, there are brethren that are gathering in Samaria, the Jewish people. He will use the opportunity to enter. When he enters, what was Paul preaching then? Paul was preaching the progressiveness of revelation, which is now the salvation of the Gentiles. Let's see that in that book of Acts, chapter 15. When Paul entered there, Paul will see the Jews that gather. He will say, this gospel is not only for the Jews. So let's see. He said, I'm being brought on their way He said, by the church of Antioch sent them. They didn't go on their own. The church of Antioch sent them. So as a minister, you have things to do. You have programs to do. And you are under a ministry. If the ministry said no, you wouldn't go. You don't have to go. Before you go, the ministry, the leadership of the church should send you. That is where you go with blessing. You go with blessing. If they say you are not going, you sit down because you are under the protection of that ministry. Praise Master Jesus. It was clear that the church sent them on that errand. Okay, let's see that scripture. I want to bring up a point. He said, and being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenix and Samaria. Take note now, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles. That was the focal point. Declaring the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy unto the Jewish brethren, telling them now, don't preach only to the Jews. The door of salvation is already open to the Gentiles. Please extend your preaching now. It's a progressive revelation. They say, but that was not what Peter taught us now. That was not what Abraham taught us. We are saying by the revelation of the Holy Ghost. Brother Abraham pointed that to the scripture, and the Holy Spirit is still speaking. So the Gentiles, they've been drafted in. That is the progressiveness of what Paul was preaching them. Praise Master Jesus. So he went through those Jewish churches before he arrived Jerusalem. And from Jerusalem, when he finished, he went back to Antioch of Syria. He didn't stay there. Let me have the next slide. Praise Master Jesus. Now, before we look at this slide, when Paul was coming back from Jerusalem, after the settlement in the Jerusalem Council Church, he didn't come alone. Paul came with the letter. Paul came with Barnabas. He came back with Titus. And the church there in Jerusalem, they decided also to give Paul some ministers to accompany them. Now, they gave them Judas, who is also known as Barnabas, and they also gave him Silas. It was the church in Jerusalem that released Silas for a missionary journey to Antioch. Praise Master Jesus. Now, that having cleared, why Galatians? Our mommy said that is the book of Galatians that was first written by Paul. Now, there are school of thoughts that it was the book of 1 Thessalonians. No. 1 Thessalonians is the second book. Why the book of Galatians is the first book? Let's see the book of Galatians, chapter 4, 19 and 20. The book of Galatians. Okay, it says, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again. Now take note of the again. The first time he came, he planted the first, planted the church unadulterated. Now the church is messed up. Now Paul is laboring the second time. That is what we are seeing again. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again unto Christ, until Christ be formed in you. So the first thing that was done, he's now repeating it again. He said, I desire to be present with you now and to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you. Take note. He said, I desire to go back to that scripture. He said, 20, verse 20. I desire to be present with you now. So by this time, Paul have not seen them the second time. It was the first one we saw in his first missionary journey that he saw them. So let's go now to the book of Acts, chapter 15, verse 36. By this time of Acts 15, 26, 36, they are back already from Jerusalem. Now, he said, and some days after they came back from Jerusalem, they are now in their Antioch church, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the first missionary journey, the word of God, and see how they do. Now, the reason why we agreed that the first Galatians is actually the first book of Paul is that second, first book of Thessalonians was, the church of Thessalonians was planted on Paul's second missionary journey. Praise Master Jesus. The church of Thessalonians was planted on Paul's second missionary journey. So that statement of Paul and Barnabas was when Paul said, let us go back to our people that we have preached to before. So that led to their second missionary journey. And when you read it down, Paul began to hand over the letters from Jerusalem. And he also, at that time, was when we agreed that he also delivered the book of Galatians to the churches of Galatians. Praise Master Jesus. Let's have the next slide. The early church prophets. Praise Master Jesus. I want you to follow in this line of our understanding. The church was actually put in place by the apostles. Anyone, Apostle Paul said, no other foundation can any man lay. The foundation is already laid. He said, now, he said, anyone that buildeth, you build upon the laid foundation. You don't build another foundation. So every one of us today, we are building on the already laid foundation. Now, we want to follow, look at the foundation that was laid by the apostles. And you judge for yourself, and let me judge for myself, to see the position of the prophets in the early church foundation. Praise Master Jesus. We have prophets that were named. Their names was actually attached with the office prophets in the Bible. We have in the New Testament church, we have three of them. But there are other prophets as we look. But there are three spectacular ones that their names was attached with the office of a prophet. Now, we will see how they worked and what happened. We have Prophet Agapos, a prophet in the church of Jerusalem. He was a prophet in the church of Jerusalem. And the Bible says that Peter, Paul, and others were the pillar. They were the leaders of the church of Jerusalem. So Prophet Agapos was not a pastor of the church of Jerusalem. He was only a member or a minister in the church of Jerusalem. Now, before the Bible, we put your name as a prophet, which means there are prophecies you've given that was confirmed. They confirmed those prophecies. And Agapos is not a left out. Agapos prophesied about the Claudius Caesar famine, and that came to pass. You will see that prophecy in Acts 11. He gave the prophecy. He said, this is what will happen. And by history, it came to pass. He said, there stood up one of them named Agapos and signaled by the Spirit that there should be a great deal throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. So you are a prophet. What have you prophesied that came to pass? What did you prophesy that came to pass? Praise Master Jesus. Now, Prophet Agapos also prophesied the arrest of Paul and his extradition by the Gentiles. And it also came to pass. Praise Master Jesus. Prophet Agapos prophesied the arrest of Paul and his extradition, and it came to pass. Praise Master Jesus. And as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agapos. And when he had come unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bounded his own hand and feet and said, Thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owed this widow, and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. He prophesied the arrest of Paul and his extradition to Rome, and it came to pass. Praise Master Jesus, a confirmed prophet. Now we have another one by name, Prophet Judas or Barsabbas. Judas, Prophet Judas, he was one of the delegates that was sent from Jerusalem church to Antioch church. After they have settled the Jerusalem council, Judas was one of the prophets they sent to accompany Paul to the church of Antioch. Judas returned to Jerusalem, his home church. He returned to Jerusalem after he finished the message they sent him. Judas, as we will see later, the Bible says Judas is a chief prophet among the ministers in the church of Jerusalem. That is to say, Judas was an influential minister among the ministers in the church of Jerusalem. Now, as an influential minister, as the chief among the ministers, if it were to be our days today that chief was attached to a prophet, show me any prophet today that has half of the gifts, the prophetic gift Judas has today, that have not started his ministry. But that was not Judas, because the foundation portrayed that a prophet cannot run his own ministry. A prophet is to go on evangelical errands, and when he comes back, he submits himself to his local church under the leadership of a pastor. When Judas went to Antioch, he submitted himself to the leadership of the church of Antioch. When he finished what he came for, what they sent him for, Judas went back to Jerusalem and he submitted himself back to the leadership of the church of Jerusalem. If it were to be our days today, they've shown you to the whole world. They send you to Ghana. They send you to Europe. The whole world have known you. Before you know, they will start up their own church. That is not Judas. Because Judas understands the foundation the apostles were laying. He went back to Jerusalem. Praise Master Jesus. The third point, as the chief among the brethren, why didn't he start up his own ministry? We have other prophets. When you look at other prophets, a church was attached to other prophets. In the church of Jerusalem, they have prophets that were in the church of Jerusalem. And I and you know the leadership already of the church of Jerusalem, which means these prophets were ministers. They were ministers of the fivefold ministry in the church of Jerusalem. We have the church of Antioch. There are also prophets in the church of Antioch. And these prophets we've mentioned, there is nowhere where the planting of church or a ministry movement was attached to their individual person. They are always on an errand by the church, or they've gone to visit one church or the other. No movement of such was attached to their names because they were prophets. Praise Master Jesus. Let me have the next slide. The ministry of Prophet Silas. Why I brought his own out, because with the ministry of Silas, we will see the opportunities that Silas had as a chief minister in the church of Jerusalem to have started his own ministry. Silas didn't do that. Silas was sent also as a delegate to the church of Antioch. When he came, Silas was a... Please, I ask you to remove that. That is for the first slide. That is for Titus, not Silas. I removed it and you put it back. Remove the first one. Yes, Silas. That is for Titus, not Silas. Okay, the second one. He was a chief minister in the Jerusalem church. Silas was a chief minister in the Jerusalem church. Let's see that in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 15. Let's take 22. Acts 15. Acts 15. Let's see verse 22. He said, then please eat the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas. Namely, these are the people the church gathered, and the elders and the apostles, they say, hey, which minister should go with these people? At least when they have finished, they will use prophetic word and they confirm the things we've sent. It's okay, let us send Prophet Jayola. And let us send Prophet Boboyi. Let them accompany Paul and Barnabas to Antioch church. Look at what happened there. He said to Antioch church with Barnabas, namely Judas, surnamed Barsabbas, and Silas, take note now, the chief men among the brethren. So as Prophet Jayola, Prophet Sunday, Prophet Boboyi, by the standard of the foundation the apostles have laid, they are chief ministers in the Bride Assembly Church. It's misplacement of priority. That is what makes prophets to go and start up ministry, because they don't know the position they occupied in the fivefold ministry. They are the chief ministers. There is nothing wrong for us to call Prophet Boboye, Prophet Sunday, Prophet Jayola as the chief ministers in the church of the Bride Assembly Church. They are influential. They hear from God. Now, because of this, the knownness of them, the people, it enters their head. They hear from God. Why will I submit myself to pastor? Because of that familiarity with the voice of God, they go out to start their own ministry. That was not the foundation. It was not part of the foundation. Tell me any of the prophetic churches you know that has half of the grace Judas, half of the grace Silas has. But Silas, as we look into the second ministry movement of Paul, Silas, when he finished his ministry with Paul, he went back to meet Peter. He didn't start up his own ministry. He ended up with Peter when he finished working with Paul. He now went back and started working with Peter. If a man of this magnitude, influential man in the Jerusalem church, why didn't he start up his own ministry? You know the negative things about those churches. You as the members, you will be blessed. But the saved prophet that is running a ministry, like I said, the cleaner in the church that is occupying his or her rightful position, we have a higher reward on that day by this movement you see all over. We saw in the revival of Moses, 30,000 worshippers were there. By our calculation, we say, the Lord is with these people, 30,000 ministers, 30,000 worshippers following the movement of this church, under this church. But we saw that God was not with them. God was not with them. When Moses went out from the will of God, instead of speaking to the rock, he smote the rock. Water came out and blessed the innocent people. The innocent congregant, they saw the grace of God. They saw the grace is genuine. They came under it, thinking the man is under the perfect will of God. Their problems were solved. Their issues was actually meant. But that sentence was upon the minister. That sentence was upon Prophet Moses. Because Prophet Moses has gone away from the perfect
great foundation laid by the apostles, and he has gone on his permissive will. And why God allowed it is because of his innocent people. Praise Master Jesus. Now, we say he was a prophet of the fivefold ministry. We know that. He was influential minister in the Jerusalem church. We saw that. The fact that he was sent on a missionary journey to Antioch shows he wasn't the pastor of the church of Jerusalem. Second point, the fact that he willingly refused to return to Jerusalem shows he wasn't the pastor of the church of Jerusalem. Take note, when Silas and Judas came to Antioch, Judas decided to go back to his home church. And Silas, on his own will, said, I would have loved to be serving in this church of Antioch. A man that has that will not to return to Jerusalem, wouldn't that man still have the ability to start his own movement, to start his own ministry? But he didn't do that. He submitted himself to the church in Antioch under the leadership of the pastor. Even as influential as he was in the church of Jerusalem, he became just an ordinary minister in the church of Antioch. That is one, understanding the laid foundation. Understanding the laid foundation. I say, as influential as he was, he didn't start up his own ministry. He submitted himself to the leadership of the church in Antioch. Barnabas started his own ministry. Why didn't Silas, the chief among them? Don't forget, Silas and Barnabas worked together as ministers in the church of Jerusalem. Now, Barnabas had issues with Paul. He started his own ministry. Why then didn't Silas, Prophet Silas, started his own ministry? Praise Master Jesus. Let me have the next slide. Barnabas and Silas, they both came from the Jerusalem church. They know each other. They've worked together. They were both sent by the apostle. They both decided not to return to Jerusalem. In our first studies, we saw how Barnabas was sent, and when he saw Paul, he decided not to go back, and he submitted himself to the leadership of the church of Antioch, and he began to serve there. He didn't go back. Now, they sent another minister by Prophet Silas, and Silas on his own again have refused to go back. Now, let's evaluate Silas and Barnabas. Silas was called a prophet. There is nowhere Barnabas was called a prophet. Don't forget, it was Dr. Luke that wrote the book of Acts. And it was Dr. Luke that called Silas a prophet. And that called Silas a prophet. If Barnabas actually had the office of the prophet, Dr. Luke also would have attached that to his name. Barnabas was called an apostle. He was also called an apostle, not a prophet. So when he started his own ministry, Apostle Paul wasn't angry with him. The church of Antioch, they weren't angry with him. And that is why you will hear Pastor Moses. He said, if any pastor stands up to start his ministry, he will give you all the support. He will give you all the support as a pastor, because you are in the perfect will of God. But when a prophet that has stayed here for years starts his own ministry, he will distance himself because you are building on a wrong foundation. So when Barnabas started his ministry, Paul, when he was writing to the Corinthians, he talked good about Barnabas. That is to say, even when they separated, they were still having good communication. He said, even Barnabas, up to now, he's not married. Is it only I'm brother Barnabas that we don't marry? He was still having good relationship with Barnabas. And the church weren't against Barnabas starting his own ministry because he was also given the apostleship title, which means he can still lay foundation. Praise Master Jesus. You can see that. I said Barnabas was associated with the teaching and preaching of the word. These are the scriptural. When our man speaks, he said, go and verify. When we speak, we give you scriptures to back up what we are saying. These are the scriptures that associated Barnabas. He was called a prophet. He was called an apostle. Again, teaching and preaching ministry was attached to the name or the ministry of Apollos. Of Barnabas. None of such was given to Prophet Silas. Praise Master Jesus. He started his own ministry because he was not a prophet. Back to Silas. He was a minister in the church of Antioch. Praise Master Jesus. The separation of Paul and Barnabas. Let's see that in that book of Acts 15. Let's read that. Acts 15, 36 to 39. He said, and some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city we have preached the word of God and see how they do. 37. And Barnabas determined to take with him John, whose surname was Mark, his cousin. But Paul thought it not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia. We saw that in our first missionary journey. And went not with them to the work. 39. And the contention was so sharp between them, Paul and Barnabas, that they departed asunder one from the other. Take note now. Take note. Go back, please. Aya. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus to start his own movement of planting the church. Let's see verse 20. Go back 40. Verse 40. And Paul chose Silas, take note now, and departed, being recommended. It was the church that recommended Silas, Prophet Silas, to join Paul in order to move on that missionary journey. He said, recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. Now they say, Paul, you know our brother Silas, now he's here, he's been a faithful prophet. Let him join you, the apostle, because he can't stay here, he's familiar with you. Let him go with you on that missionary journey. That was how Paul and Prophet Silas became partner. Silas didn't start up his own ministry. Let us go to the last point now. Take note here, Paul's second missionary journey. In here, we are going to second missionary journey. These are the people that went. Paul, Silas, Titus, and Timothy. These are the team that went on the second missionary journey. But take note, on this second missionary journey, by rank, we know Silas, Prophet Silas, was of a higher rank than Titus. We know Prophet Silas was of a higher rank than Timothy. Now, when they went for second missionary journey and they were planting churches, Apostle Paul gave Crete, the church in Crete, for Titus to pastor. Apostle Paul gave, first of all, sent Timothy to Thessalonica to pastor the church there for a while, and later gave him the church of Ephesus to pastor. As influential as Prophet Silas was, no single church was given to him to pastor. As influential as he was, the prophets of the foundation laying, no single church was given at least, let him manage these numerous churches that were planted. No church was given to Prophet Silas to pastor. from the foundation, a prophet is not supposed to pastor a church. That is the foundation that the apostle laid for us. If a prophet is supposed to pastor a church, why didn't Paul give a church of those numerous churches? One time, he sent Apollos to Crete and he asked Titus to come back. What happened to Silas? Is Prophet Silas wicked? What happened to him? Why didn't you give him church? In the second missionary journey of Paul, we will look into this in total from step to step. God bless you, church. Okay, please let me take one question or two that borders on what we've just said. God bless you, ma.
Praise the Lord, church.
Hallelujah.
Please, pastor, I want to ask. You say that it's very difficult for people to come and testify what God has done to them. So I want to ask, this testifier, how is there any other way to that person to not mention exactly what I've done to the person? Because sometimes when you mention the particular things God have done to you, maybe the enemy, they will use it as envy. Some might use it as gossip and doing jealousy.
Mommy, that is your understanding. That is what you think that somebody is thinking about you. Praise Master. Your testimony is between you and God of what God has done. And the Bible says, if the way of a man pleases the Lord, he maketh even his enemies. Those you think they are jealous about you, those you think they want to fight your testimony, it makes them to be at peace with you. When your testimony is from a pure and a clean heart, brother, sister, there is nothing any man can do. There is nothing. Nothing. There are people who also feel shy to hold the microphone. When they hold the microphone, they fidget. You can put it in writing. We will read it out. But you say you are not, you are holding what God has done for you because of a man. It's gross error. God bless you.
Praise the Lord.
Okay, just one or two, please, because of our time. Go ahead. The last one, please. Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, I truly believe in this doctrine that a prophet should not pastor a church.
God bless you, sir.
But I want to understand something. I want to understand the difference between a church and a ministry.
Praise Master Jesus.
Because like I was privileged to attend a church, and then this man is actually a prophet. And then he actually did not name his church say ABC Church. His name is, let's say, ABC Prophetic Ministry. And when he was preaching, I noticed something he said. He said, God has not called me to be a pastor, that I am a prophet. I was kind of confused because you hold Sunday service, you hold Friday vigils, just as church do, and you said you are not a pastor and is a prophet. Like, what is a church and what is a ministry?
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise Master Jesus. The word ministry is this people's smartness of coining out a word and they're putting it as a church. There is nothing like ministry of opening or gathering people. The thing is a church. It's either you are pastoring a church or you are not pastoring a church. Now, when we talk about ministry, ministry is that gift that the Lord has given you. It's your ministry that the Lord has given you, that you are operating in a church. Now, the coin of that ministry to mean such is fallacy and error. That your ministry is that area of your call that he, the Lord, has given to you. Let us be on our feet. Hallelujah. Sorry, if you have any other question or contribution, let us meet tomorrow on Ask the Pastor. Just be on your feet and begin to wave your hands in appreciation unto God.
Father, we give you worship. Yes. Father, we thank you.
Wave your hands in appreciation unto
God. We give you all the